In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favorite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the eras to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.
This is an ABC podcast.
Resorts, homes and a newly built hospital have been washed away.
I'm just holding on for dear life here. This isn't fun.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
Save what for dream. You must ready.
Helping your community.
Helping your family.
Helping you.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Bolo Banaka. I'm Joe, based in Suva, Fiji.
Hi, I'm Fred Hooper, based in Tasmania, Australia.
And this is Pacific Prepared.
It's a show about natural disasters, climate change, and traditional knowledge, and how those things are all connected.
Fred, each week we work closely with reporters right across the Pacific who are on the ground, letting us all know what is happening in their space.
On today's show,
we are currently in Honiara, Solomon Islands, and we visited this particular settlement. It's called Core Hill. That's located or situated right next to Mataniko River. And there was an incident happened a decade ago, and we'll talk more about that in the show.
Now, this time in Talastan upside river, this side, him not people not across because water.
He said that during the flooding, people escaped up the hill using makeshift floaters, and some even swam to save their lives.
Kwa hillside hill for go up for Bukanovera school. So every people use floater, use canoe, sanfala, just swim. Fight for own life, so Okata just run up the hill. So,
and as you can maybe hear in the background too, it's currently raining, which sort of goes to the problem, or part of the problem that this village actually had with flooding quite a while ago. So we will talk more about that as well with our colleagues from SIBC, Solomon Island Broadcasting Corporation. So that's all coming up, Joe.
Yeah, that's all coming up. And this is Pacific Prepared.
Me name Blomi Yang, Blo SIBC, Lo Solomon Islands, and you listen come Blo Pacific Prepared.
We work with reporters, as we said at the top, we work with reporters from right across the Pacific, Joe, and we do a lot of work, I guess, with capacity building and training of journalists across the Pacific, and this week we're lucky enough to be in Honiara.
Yeah, absolutely, Fred, in the Friendly Isle, and I'm so thankful to the crew at SIBC for not only assisting us with the training and knowledge sharing, but also taking us to some of the unknown locations or places that we've been to for the first time.
Oh, absolutely. It's been great. It's been great to be here and just to see things on the ground, as it always is.
Yes. Yeah.
Cynthia Seda is a radio presenter with SIBC in Solomon Islands. Welcome to the show, Cynthia.
I'm so grateful to be here.
What's it like for you to cover disasters and, I guess, things around climate change that are affecting the community where you also live and work?
Yes, so here in the Solomon Islands, as you might have been aware, that communities within Solomon Islands, across Solomon Islands actually, we are prone to disasters. Yeah. And I think one of the most recent disasters that happened that will never go away from most of people here in the Solomon Islands is the one right here in the community where we are standing, just outside of Honiara, where a lot of people still have that terrible memory from that event back in 2014, which was the flash flooding. And so working with people around the communities, you know, staying with them, being around them, hearing stories from them, and moving forward with them through whatever they go through is something that, you know, with people like us working with people every day, we sort of, you know, learn from them and also getting to have a feel about what they're facing. So like, for example, once we interview a resident up at just Tuvaruvu River where the incident happened, where the disaster happened, and she emotionally took us back to that moment when her family lost almost everything. So for me, I mean, reporting about disasters is something that will always be part of my work.
And it must be nice when somebody shares something so personal with you as well.
Yeah, it's emotional because I think that moment was something that will never go away, like I said, from most people, and especially some of my relatives actually are in that moment as well, and sharing what they're facing at that time was something that, you know, we get to listen to them, and at the same time they share about the challenges that they face trying to adjust, but having to go through such moments, like they never receive any help, and they try to move on from what they have, from scratches going forward, and also at the same time trying to realize what they go through and how they can overcome such disasters in the future is something that we try to raise awareness, mostly for communities and for our people in the Solomon Islands. So it's important really for me to report on such things, reminding people every time there rains, especially communities living nearby, close to low-lying areas. We always, as part of my work, I kind of like remind them every now and then that every time it rains, every time a heavy rain occurs, that it's always important to look out, to take precautionary measures, be careful, you know, and always make sure that children stay indoors when places are flooded, and sort of those informations we sort of like give out to communities every now and again. So it's really important, something that I always remind myself to always share with people when I go on presentation on radio.
Yeah. So Cynthia, you talked about the memory way back in 2014, still fresh in some of the minds of those affected now. Are there any, what are some of the, you know, in your capacity as a radio presenter and a producer, do you have a program or a segment that, provides advice and some tips to ensure that those affected, in a way, help them recover psychologically?
So at the moment on SIBC, no, we don't have such radio, but I believe that that is really, really an important part of what we as presenters and what radio stations should have, especially because here in the Solomon Islands, I don't think that every communities have a standby evacuation plan that they should, although I am not really well aware with what our NDMO might has. But we should also have that in place so that we can give out information to people in the communities, you know, and having such on radio, such programs to psychologically letting people know about how they should move on from such disasters in the future is really important too. But we sort of just like give out information on how people can get them to safety, or if there's a disaster happening, what they should do beforehand, you know, just identifying the situations. That's just what we really do when it comes on, like when such an event like heavy rain happening, we just sort of like when we read out those informations about weather, we kind of just reminding people that, oh, look, here's place where there's a lot of heavy rain happening right now. These are some of the things that you need to look out for. And yeah sort of that advices we sort of just give out on radio.
Is it difficult for you too? Because obviously you live here, you're a Solomon Islander, and it's a reasonably small country and area that we're in, Honiara. Is it hard for you as a journalist, because you're trying to look after your own family and think about your own safety, to then also remember to, I guess, warn the rest of the community via SIBC?
Yeah, I think it's really, really hard, but not as hard for me to just, you know, just helping my other fellow Solomon Islanders, also looking after my family, but at the same time, as part of my work, I feel obliged to make sure that they are also safe in whatever situations that we go through, and especially in disasters.
Well, thanks for having us, Cynthia. It's been great this week being here in Solomon Islands with the crew from SIBC and chatting to you all. It's been a really good week.
So happy that I'm on this show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Fred.
What's your plan? Are you ready to leave your home? Plan now before disaster strikes. Pacific Prepared.
Hey, Joe. We need a fan break.
It's so raining, but it's humid.
It's so humid.
In Solomon Islands, we visited this particular settlement, and as you can hear, it's raining. Can you hear the rain drop? Yes. So it's been hot since we arrived earlier this week.
And Joe, we've come to a village not far out of Honiara. I think we're still in Honiara technically.
Yeah.
Quahil. Yeah. And we sort of, to get to where we are at the moment, we had to actually walk down a little bank down onto, I guess it's called a boat?
Yeah.
I don't know. What's it called?
It's a raft.
A raft. Yeah. So it's okay. It's a raft.
So they spread the rope right across the Matanico River. And they use this raft to help
themselves across.
Yeah.
Right?
To help the residents cross to the other side of the other side of the riverbank.
Yeah.
In order to commute to Honiara and other places, yeah, Fred. Exactly. Yeah.
And you can already, just from that sort of little journey, that trip that we did to get here, you can sort of tell what this village would face in terms of flooding, because it seems like it's very vulnerable. We're down very low now,
yeah,
right next to the river that we crossed to get here where we are. So you can imagine what it's like when heavy rain. There's already pooling water here, and we've only had a little bit of rain, so you can imagine what it's like when it's heavy rain.
Yeah, the community of the settlement is susceptible or prone to flooding, and the worst was back in 2014. That killed over 50 residents in the area.
And our colleague from SIBC, Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation, Duxley Ho, spoke with Ben Sifusi, who had a close connection to those floods back in 2014.
Let's take a listen.
Yeah, today is the 2nd of December, and we're actually here along Quahil, just Losite River, with Ben, one log of the people were been stuck here during the flood way back 2014. Yes, so Ben, just introduce yourself, your name, and where you from, and it has been move on with them other questions.
Okay, name me Ben Sifusi from North Malaita. Me stay here 7 years. Then after flood just happened 2014. So me one fella community settlers here lo Quahil.
Ben, just tell us about time the flood hemi happened way back 2014. You actually lo here?
Yes, that fella day me lo stay lo here lo community.
Ben said that on the day the flooding happened, he was actually at home where he and his family witnessed the river flooding.
From morning, you can see 1 o'clock. Water him rise, then him take him out every houses, and some fella losing life, some fella losing properties. So during that fella day, me lo yellow community lo under St. John the Baptist. Yes, from side interview face, then come Kasim here.
He said that before the flood's flooding, there were residential buildings here.
60 houses from side river come up Kasim, this spot lo here. Flood and cover every house. So big communities now.
There was also a church building not far from where they are standing. Yes, there were many buildings in this area before the flash flooding.
This building lo here, Hemi Anglican Church.
So he was talking about the ground level compared before the flood. Actually, when the flood came, the ground there, the erosion. Yes, so the loose ground there, actually, it's got higher
the normal one. So if you stand there with the level of the roof of the church, you can, like, the same level. Yeah, so it was caused by the flood that was here in 2014, April 2014.
Ground, I'm high low here, and 2 meters. So from, you know, the real ground, now in Tastanhem, just west ground after flood. Mm. Yes. So some of the houses have buried underneath the just for the ground in Tastan. Yeah.
Okay, so, during that for time where rain, hemi, yeah, actually, followed during that fella time, and you guys start looking now, rain, flood, yeah, what time is that flood come up? How now you looking, the reaction long people during low that fella time?
Oh, usually me fella low here, me forget you slow. A flood, hemi, always every year.
Ben said that on the day the flooding happened, he was actually at home where he and his family witnessed the river flooding.
That for a day, people estimate him that water and
he said they were used to seeing and experiencing river floods, which normally only reached a height of around 1 meter.
Pikinini, okay, no worry anything for say because everyone just make him a thing that him just normal. But
during the flood in 2014, it was completely different.
2014, him go a thing height 3 meter.
It rose to around 3 meters high, which destroyed many properties, and lives were lost during that flooding.
Losing life during that fall, our way other dream rush.
So, during that time, when our people actually move from the places where you people actually move to during that fall flooding.
Now, this time in Talastan upside river, this side, him not, people not across because water.
He said that during the flooding, people escaped up the hill using makeshift floaters, and some even swam to save their lives.
Qua hillside hill for go up for Bukanovera school. So every people use floater, use canoe, some fella just swim. Fight for own life, so Okata just run up low hill. So this side where Interstan where behind, no anyone him across now.
Thank you, and thank you to Daxley Ho from SIBC for conducting that interview with Ben Safusi, a local resident here at Kwa Hill, located next to Matanikau River, right here in Honiara, Solomon Islands.
I'm just holding on for dear life here.
For women, it's always safety first. They are the first responder.
You're listening to Pacific Prepared.
While we're in the village of Kwa Hill in Honiara in Solomon Islands, one of the SIBC staff spoke with somebody about their disaster plans, Joe.
Absolutely, Fred, and there are a lot of women and girls as well in that community or that settlement. And they also play a part when it comes to disaster preparedness and trying to ensure that their family members are safe or are safely evacuated to the allocated or designated spot, I might say, in times of disaster, especially for flooding.
I guess the one thing that Kwa Hill does have in its favour is that, as we found out, just behind the village, there is an enormously steep hill. And there's a set of stairs up there. They call it Jacob's Ladder. And I guess, you know, in an emergency, in a flood particularly, where you need to get to higher ground, that is a good place to go.
That is an appropriate, safe spot. I think that's one of the areas that they normally go to.
Yeah, from what we heard.
Flooding,
I mean, that makes sense because it is virtually straight up in the air.
It's quite steep.
It's very steep.
I've gone through those steps, and I tell you, I took a short 5 minutes break before I continued, so it's not easy.
I think if you were trying to escape flood water, you probably wouldn't stop for a break there, would you? You'd probably just power through, I reckon.
Yeah.
But definitely handy to have right behind a village, especially where they are in that location. I mean, the other thing that I noticed, Joe, I'm not sure if you saw this or not, but the ground was virtually kind of all, not mud, but it was a lot of dirt on the ground.
Yeah.
And it did feel like that was very movable. And that when the water came through, that would just be all over the place.
Yeah. And I think that's, they are used to it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think more effort is still needed to ensure that their environment or that particular place is environmentally friendly, I would say.
Yeah.
When it comes to, hygiene, safety.
Yeah, that's true.
And the health of the local residents in
Quahill. Yeah. I mean, just making sure they've got a plan, evacuation plan, somewhere to go, I suppose. Well, the fact that they all know where to go in an emergency, that's probably the most important thing anyway. Yeah.
So yeah, this particular lady, when we went there, she was selling betel nuts.
Yes,
and I think that's an avenue as well for her to make a living.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, so she spoke with Cynthia from SIBC, and she talked about some of her encounter experiences from the past disasters, particularly the one that happened in 2014, that created a major havoc in Quahill.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay, let's take a listen.
My name is Nesta Allen. I come from North Malaita, Tobaita. Have you been here long? Since when have you been living here in Quahill? I came here 2 years ago, and from what I have been experiencing, it's been a hard life. How I experience it, if it rains, we're frightened of the flood. Whenever we see the clouds getting dark, we're preparing ourselves to move out. That's how I see it here. This is a first-time experience for me since started living here after the big floods. Since then, whenever I see it starts to rain, I just prepare my family to move out.
All this time go off, me looking rain, me fall so fright now. Ready no for out of same now, and by me fall fright.
Okay, so Lahia, you may been garam experience before come like.
So with the experience before, we've heard stories about people who lost their lives here. With that experience, how do you able to stay around here? Can you share that with us? What do you feel when it rains? Just share with us your thoughts on that. I just got here because I was looking for a house to rent so my children can find employment with the local shops in town. That's why I came here. When I arrived, I didn't have any house here, so I was just renting to make life easy going to work. That's why I live here.
Giving life easy for go down for work.
But you think,
you're ready to face such disaster as the flash flooding in 2014? If it happens again in the future, what is your opinion on that?
Ready if that fellow same incident happened, same disaster happened back in the future, or what nothing thing blue? Hana look blue you say about in that one?
Means I'm ready for.
I believe I'm ready for that now, but for now all I can do is only watching out.
Stay then watch no more. It's true now.
Okay, so any awareness come, Kasim, you follow?
Okay, so ever since residing here, have you had any awareness on disaster ready inside this community? No, we don't have any awareness. This is the first time we've had such a visit.
First time you will not come no more.
How many kids do you have? Tell us about your family.
Three fala girls, two.
I have 5 kids. 3 girls and 2 boys. Our dad left us 2 years ago before we moved here.
After 1 year, we come to come here.
So how do you manage for?
So how do you manage to support your family with rental and charge? I did that on my own before, but my children are now being employed, so they pay the rent for us.
If him happened that any time you fall asleep.
Moving forward into the future, what is your family's preparedness if disasters happen again? In my opinion, whenever it happens, the only thing for us is to escape.
So, Luena Baifa run away lohem.
Where will you run to? The only place for us to escape to will be Awantok's place, since we don't have any land here in town. I mean here in Kwahil community, because disasters can happen at night when we don't expect it, when people are still sleeping. Where is the evacuation site to go? To go to? If there's a disaster coming, I will go to my sister's place at Papaho.
If you sleep your night but flooding happen, Luana road.
If there's a flood escape, coming at night, where will your escape route be? If I'm awake at night when it floods, I will escape to the hills using the Jacob's Ladder pathway uphill towards skyline.
Flood come on night, me wake up, I may run away low hill now.
So lohia when a road split for lohia, when a road split for lohia for go up kasim hillside.
Me have run away low Jacob's Ladder on top ya. Go kasim no skyline na.
Okay, auntie, thank you too much for time blue with me fala.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What's your plan? Are you ready to leave your home? Plan now before disaster strikes. Pacific Prepared.
My name is Jonathan from SIBC in the Solomon Islands. You're listening to Pacific Prepared.
Hello, my name is Jimmy Nolan, from SIBC, the Solomon Island. Now you listen, come, Lopa speak, prepare.
You listen, Lopa Pacific, prepare.
Hello,
my name is Alicia, me from Solomon Islands. Listen, come, Lopa Pacific, prepare.
I'm just holding on for dear life here.
For women, it's always safety first. They are the first responder.
You're listening to Pacific Prepared.
Coming to an end of another episode of Pacific Prepared this week, Fred, it's always a pleasure to record or to chit-chat face-to-face.
And it's also great to do it in country too,
yes.
Where we can be on the ground like we are right now, standing in the middle of a village under under a house, while it's raining outside.
Yeah, and actually people are staring at us.
Yeah, there's a lot of people here looking, so that's good. It's good to see people.
As always, and thank you for having me on the show, and I really like the stories and the support from SIBC team.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for the support and help. And expect more stories and interviews from Solomon Islands over the next few weeks.
Absolutely, for sure. Thanks, Joe.
Vinaka Fred, I'll talk to you next week.
Vinaka.
Pacific Prepared.
Pacific Prepared is supported with funding from the Australian Government's Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. Any views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the Australian Government. It's produced and distributed in partnership with Radio Australia and networks across the Pacific, including Radio New Zealand Pacific, National Broadcasting Corporation of Papua New Guinea, Palau Wave Radio, Fijian Broadcasting Corporation, Samoa National Radio 2AP, Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation, and Tonga Broadcasting Commission. My name's Fred Hooper, and thanks to my co-host in Fiji, Josiah Nunga. Please share any information you've learned today, and stay safe. This has been Pacific Prepared.